track 8, and now we come to letters to the editor. There are 4 this week, but we're only going to read 3 as one of them is covered in the national media. Troubled times, writes Ray Fitzpatrick from Tynmouth. How disappointing to read the front page headlines in the Tynmouth Post that the Tynmouth Lido is under threat of closure and the Tynmouth Air Show to be a no-show this year. Add to these the closures of various outlets in Newton Abbot, as reported recently on the letters page, and now the possible closure of the Golden Hind in Brixham, adding to the list of troubled businesses or attractions. Even Shoreden Bonfire Night fireworks display later this year may also be in doubt. Where next?
A time to stand firm. David Halpin of Hay Tor writes, you report the closure of the Tynmouth Pool by TDC to save £75,000. This is a tiny fraction of the £50 billion being spent on the new road from Drumbridges. In a cash-strapped Britain, widening the road at Churchill's would have been sufficient. We need to recall the park and pool at Penn Inn. Those marshy 4 acres were bought in the 30s by public subscription. I used to drive on a Saturday from the Princess Elizabeth Orthopaedic Hospital, Exeter, its centenary this year, to Torbay to see my trauma patients. In summer, there were gleeful children diving into the open-air pool, the water glistening on them. Many children in Newton Abbot learnt to swim there. Adults sat in the woody shade, and ice creams were dispensed by a lady in the little cottage. The PEOH was bulldozed with its 120 beds and the finest esprit de corps in 1996, an upmarket housing estate its replacement. This happened in spite of a strong and sustained fight by the surgeons which I lead. Only 10 years before, the hospital had been completely re-engineered and 4 new operating theatres were included. There was so much of value and excellence, including a fine hydrotherapy pool built by voluntary effort. There were developers sniffing around in the background before central government, with local input, put the boot into the PEOH. We need to know for certain that such people do not already have contact with TDC about the Tynmouth pool. Once such a pool is closed, there is unlikely to be a later replacement. We must stand firm.
And the third letter is from Michelle Masterton Smith of Animal Aid. It's one of those letters that's clearly been sent to local papers across the country. On February the 12th, a deeply troubling amendment to the Public Order Act came into force. It should concern anyone who values transparency, civil liberties, and the basic democratic right to speak out against injustice. Life Sciences locations, including ASPA-licensed animal research laboratories, are now classed as, quotes, key national infrastructure, which increases the criminal risks associated with even peaceful and non-disruptive advocacy. This reclassification is not a technical adjustment. It shields some of the nation's most secretive and ethically contested industries from public scrutiny. The wording is so broad and vague that even holding a placard or sharing factual information could be treated as a criminal offence. Ordinary citizens speaking up for animals may now be treated as though they're threatening national infrastructure rather than exercising their democratic rights. The timing raises further alarm. It comes just as the government has set out a roadmap to phase out animal experiments, a moment when transparency should be increasing rather than being suppressed. Instead, this change protects harmful practices from view and undermines the millions of animals still suffering in UK laboratories every year. Yet this attempt to silence dissent will not succeed. Advocates across the movement are adapting, exploring legal routes, and ensuring supporters can continue to speak up safely and effectively. Animal protection in Britain has always been driven by persistence and courage, and that will not change now.